providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back to Top of the Hour News. We follow it every single week. Hey, I want to read you something about social media and the news that I read last night that I think is really interesting. I want to read this to you. It's a bit of an op-ed, and then Jimmy and I are going to elaborate on it. Here we go. Quote, "The rise of social media has also caused irreparable damage to the craft of reporting the news. The skill, integrity, and professionalism required to accurately report the happenings of this world are quickly becoming a lost craft. Opinion now dominates news. The quest for truth has been subordinated to personal agendas. The media is no longer satisfied with the humble professionalism of reporting the actual news and letting us decide for ourselves what it means. Swept up in self-importance and celebrity, they now feel the need to tell us what to think about the news. Would news broadcasting have shifted further and further in this direction if social media had not entered our culture?" I personally don't think so. Jimmy, what do you think?
I think that there's, this interesting point starting with social media as a start point, but I actually think it goes a little bit before that with the competition, major competition for media and the internet.
Yeah.
When
I agree.
The costs of actually having an analytical team that gave valid information for any major news organization became very high, became very competitive, certainly with print news, but also with the network news organizations and even cable news organizations. Those costs became very high, and then it was chasing advertising dollars, and chasing advertising dollars meant clicks on information. And then with clicks on information, you've got extreme ideas or things in order to get people to look at it, emotionally maneuvering people's opinions in order to get more revenue from the advertisers.
Sure.
And then now what we've got with social media, Al, which I think is incredibly damaging, is people making decisions and getting information or disseminating information based on a handful of characters on a tweet or on a Facebook post. And there is no balance. There is no review. There is very, people are moving to their ideology and following people that make them feel happy on their side.
Sure.
And they're very unwilling to cross the border and take a look at the opposing views. But the people that are driving that are the advertisers, are the tech companies, are the social media companies, because they're using algorithms to shape your what you get.
Well, as usual, the almighty dollar is truly, truly charting the course for the future.
it is.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And what happens, so, I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight, and maybe your listeners can understand this a little bit. All of our listeners can understand it. So, being the deputy director of counterterrorism for U.S. Pacific Command and their Joint Intelligence Operations Center, and the contingencies senior analyst and the South Asia Pacific analyst, senior deputy chief, I spent a lot of time looking at different problems from the African coast all the way across to the U.S. West Coast, including China, Korea's, Indonesia, India. And what I saw happening, and it very much frustrated me as an intelligence organization, was when the commander of U.S. Pacific Command, now Indo-Pacific Command, started saying, "Hey, look, we've got to get tracking this social media, Twitter, for information." And it bothered me a lot because decision makers were then making decisions based on information. At the time, it seemed innocuous. Okay, well, let's use all the open source knowledge we can to get a good idea of what's happening. It would give you valuable information. But what happens is that overwhelms the news media, overwhelms the decision-making process. And when the decision-making process is overwhelmed by tweets and information, people can manipulate that. They can manipulate that through funding of information. So when you have large corporations and tech companies that want an agenda, they can manipulate senior government decision makers, including warfighting leaders, with fraudulent information in order to shape an outcome that they want to achieve for their broader interests.
And I would guess personally, Jim, that 9 times out of 10, the information that very, very important decisions are based on is oftentimes simply somebody's opinion.
Correct. And it's instantaneous. So as we've seen numerous times, almost every time, the first reporting is always false. As an intelligence guy, we know that. You know, we've learned that. The problem is leaders respond to it. Politicians respond to that first response, and then they immediately feel obligated to make a comment. Their comment can be 180 degrees off because the first responses are inaccurate. And then it's protecting themselves using whatever means necessary to not embarrass themselves because what they said the first time was wrong. And I think, you know, what we talked about earlier in the show with FTX is a perfect example of that, where a lot of people get trapped by their involvement, but then their whole goal is to cover up the mistakes they've made rather than correct the mistakes.
Yep.
And that's what's happening with information right now. It's just absolutely, you know, destroying people's basic fundamental knowledge and actually their ability to think and process because of these quick, you know, algorithm-driven social media posts that are really designed to grab your emotions and to shift you one way or another.
They're designed to grab your emotions and shift you one way or another, and also to click in the appropriate spot so that the originator can get more revenue.
Absolutely. That's the whole idea with it. And, you know, we have even a bigger problem than, you know, this is Western ideas. You know, really the most of these innovations came from Silicon Valley tech companies, U.S. tech companies, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all these, you know, different ideas that were thought to be expanding the knowledge of all people. But what happens and what has happened is those big Google, Apple, big corporate tech entities, Facebook, Amazon, they're beginning to use this for their financial benefit. But then let's go one step farther. Let's go to TikTok. TikTok is designed by a Chinese company that is controlled by a Chinese company.
And owned by a Chinese company.
Exactly. And supposed to have some firewalls between here and US, but basically you've got an authoritarian entity that controls one of the most influential platforms for youth in America right now in order to shape their minds to achieve their political ends, not their financial and political ends, not just money, but in order to shape American youth in order to accept in a completely different view of the world than what Western ideology is based on, what our Constitution is based on.
Well, I know a lot of friends of mine were dependent on information from TikTok to cast their votes in the last election, because many of my, for lack of better terms, liberal friends told me that's what they were doing, and they thought I was crazy because I didn't use TikTok.
It's just insane to me. But it made a big difference in this election, especially for young females who voted against abortion.
Exactly. Jimmy, we got to take a real quick commercial break here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back to wrap up KER Politics. Stick around.